Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You don't have that like bookmarked at the top of your Chrome.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Man of his word, I will take less. I will help the team. I want to keep playing. Voila.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Ryan Leaf. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Ryan Leaf.
It's Ryan Leaf. Oh, my God. Filling in for the big fella once again, Rich Eisen here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's going to take a little well-deserved vacay along with Mike Del Tufo and Chris Brockman. They're going to take a little time off and let the big fella here take over business for a little bit. We got a heck of a show for you today. A lot of news to cover. Really some stuff outside of the sports realm. But we got a great list of guests. We have ESPN DC reporter John Keim, the host of the John Keim podcast. He'll be on at 9:20 to talk all things NFL. We got Michael McCann, who's a Sports Illustrated legal expert. He's going to talk NIL with me. I think this is an extremely interesting topic, simply because, you know, I played 22, 23 years ago in college, and college football, NCAA college football video game was very prevalent. We loved the fact that we were on it. I never once thought that I deserved any compensation for it. So this is like anything. Things evolve. People discern between when one's being used and when one's not, or when one's being taken advantage or when one's not. And so this is an interesting conversation. We'll talk to him about that. Then our friend Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network, all things analytics. She's done some really neat data analysis this offseason about whether or not these teams are going to be successful in the fall, what it's going to take for them to get to that place, what that looks like. She's going to join us at 10:20. And then Kevin Arnowitz, ESPN NBA writer, is going to join us at 11 Pacific to talk about the NBA. And one of the series, the Phoenix Suns, have closed that one out. And surprisingly enough, last night the Milwaukee Bucks show up and without Giannis get it done. They did exactly what Atlanta did without Trae Young the game before. And this game, this series is once again all knotted up. I feel like when coaches that are really good and you lose your best player and you find ways to win games, that shows your coaching ability. You know, Nate McMillan down in Atlanta when Trae Young was out. Last night in Milwaukee, extremely good. These NBA series is, and I'd like to get what our listeners' thought process is about the NBA, because I kind of had this question around whether or not this is incredibly captivating. The Phoenix Suns versus the LA Clippers, the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Atlanta Hawks. There's always going to be a time where the NBA has to evolve and new players have to come to the forefront. I thought we found that with Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix. You know, I look at Atlanta and Trae Young. Is it Giannis's time to, after being an MVP and falling short a few years before in the East, is it his time to finally step to the forefront? Because at some point it happens, right? From Michael Jordan went to Kobe Bryant. The baton was passed. It's going to happen again. LeBron is not going to be able to play forever. So who are the next superstars? And I think we've seen that. So are you not captivated because it's not the Los Angeles Lakers and it's not Kevin Durant and the New Jersey or the Brooklyn Nets in the finals? Are people going to tune in and watch the Phoenix Suns versus either Milwaukee or Atlanta? That's a real question I want answered. Art Martinez, our producer, is going to be helping me all day. He's going to help facilitate everything through the switchboard. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we're just on the radio today. No Peacock TV, which is usually what goes hand in hand with the Rich Eisen show. But the whole cast and crew is taking a break, a well-deserved break. They've been going at it ever since they got back into that studio. I think Rich had a in-studio guest for the first time just a month ago, and Jay Billis stopped by the other day to give him his, I think, third in-studio guest. That's we're moving gently in the right direction, continuously. Here in Los Angeles, we opened up again really June 15th, and what the pandemic had put us in. Now, California's been really good about the percentages of its population getting vaccinated. Other places around the country, not so much. Mookie Betts, L.A. Dodger, former MVP, World Series champion, he stepped up this past week and went to local communities and local drugstores and talked about advocating for getting the vaccine and getting everybody out there. I went to Dodgers-Cubs games last week, and at those games, for the first time, they were completely full. Now, it was overwhelming at first when I walked up there, because you don't realize when you haven't been around people, a large number of people for over a year, because me and my family did a real serious job about quarantining and making it about us three during that time, that it was strange. The first time I ever got really shown that, I took my son to Disneyland back on May 13th, and it was only allowed to be 25% full. Only 25% full, that's it. But it seemed like it was overflowing and it was overwhelming, exactly the reason why I just talked about it, right? You're not used to it. So when I was at the Dodgers game and I walked in, you know, like years past, I'm a diehard Cubs fan, so I would see other Cubs fans walking among the floor or the mezzanine and walking to our seats, and I'd always reach up and offer a high five or anything to these Cubs fans. And it's just second nature. You just do it. You just put your hand out there and you hope it's reciprocated, but you don't know how it's going to be in this day and age. And then it turns into a fist bump, and then you stop doing it. I've been to a few charity events, some speaking engagements that I've done, and I told myself that you're in a venue with, you know, hundreds of people, and normally during that time in the past before COVID, you would when introduced to other people, you would shake hands immediately. It's about that. And you find yourself just muscle memory in it, going back to shaking hands. And I promised myself, like, I wasn't going to do it, right? Because even if it's not a COVID time, if you shake 100 hands in the evening and don't antibacteria up afterwards or wash your hands immediately, you're just going to get sick anyway, just from touching 100 people. That's... That's just science. So, but I mean, it was muscle memory. First person stuck his hand out to shake, there I was, you know, like I thought about it and then right in there to shake hands. So it's an interesting time. Storylines today that we'll be talking about, right? I really want to get into the Richardson story. The young sprinter from America, of course, was banned from the Tokyo 100-meter race because she tested positive for THC, which is the active ingredient, of course, in marijuana. She has since apologized, which I thought was very big of her. I don't necessarily understand why she felt it necessary to do that. I know she's felt she's let a lot of people down. She lives, I think, was in Oregon at the time. Her mother had passed. This is the form of coping mechanism she chose, you know, about a week before the trials. And then she ran her face off with a time of 10.72 and has now been banned and ruled out. Now, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the draconian, like, dictatorship of the Olympic Training Committee or whatever it is that's going to limit our best sprinter and our best chance at a gold medal since Gail Devers, because she smoked a little marijuana. That's the question we're dealing with right now, and it's absolutely absurd. So we're going to get into that a little bit. We'll talk again around the Atlanta Hawks, how they got mauled inside by Brooks Lopez and that crew. I mean, that's what you need from the bigs in Milwaukee. And Budholzer, if he can get those guys to play like that when Giannis is healthy, because you could be without him for the rest of the series. Hyperextended knee is very similar to an ACL, right? That's how I actually tore my ACL, was hyperextending it, and it tore on my right knee. So there's a very good chance that could be the case there too. I'm going to talk about Phil Mickelson, and he came out and talked about how he's not going to play in Detroit anymore. They are at the Rocket Mortgage PGA Tour stop. There was a story that came out from 2007. All it was really a hit piece for Phil Mickelson. It didn't have any bearing on anything or anybody. The other person involved is deceased. He got taken on a bet that was a sizable one. It was just, and Phil comes out and says he's probably not going to play in the Detroit event again, simply because of what happened with that deal. Friend of mine, friend of college football, ex-Georgia and Miami coach Mark Richt, announces to everybody that he has Parkinson's disease, and came out with a very faith-based statement that told everybody about it, what was going on, that he was going to continue with his life unimpeded with the ACC network next year and around college football that gave him so much. It was really great to see that, we hope for the best for him. He's a former colleague of mine at ESPN, and we wish him the best. Interesting how, you know, we live in such a public venue of a place now that we have to, if people start to notice something or we feel like we need to tell somebody, disclosing medical information is an incredibly interesting way to live, you know, live your life. But we all wish him the best again, and hope for a healthy recovery, though, you know, this is going to be a lifelong disease for him and a lifelong fight. He can do it. He's as good as it. All right. We talked about today at 9:20 here in about, 8 minutes or so, John Keim, ESPN DC reporter, is going to join us about the biggest story, you know, buried the lead here a little bit, I thought. Daniel Snyder and the Washington football team were fined $10 million, and he was stripped of his day-to-day, not in writing, but it was made clear that he will be stepping down from more of the day-to-day details with the Washington football team. And his wife, who was placed as the new CEO and pretty much president about a week ago, is going to kind of be taking over that and more of the face of the company. Now, we'll talk to John about this. I had this when it kind of broke yesterday on NFL radio on Sirius XM. And I, you know, it's NFL radio. You really can't dive as deep into it as you probably want to there. This is going to be more of an opportunity to really talk about the things and how this ultimately is a slap on the wrist for a multi-billionaire who owns the Washington football team for 10 years, supposedly of, you know, egregious sexual harassment charges levied by people in that organization. I will say this. It's going to be Daniel Snyder's team, but it really looks like moving forward in name only. And I think that's the best move possible. We'll talk about that more with John Keim in about, 7 minutes or so. Then at 10 o'clock, Michael McCann, Sports Illustrated legal expert, is going to join us, and we're going to dive deep into the NIL conversation, what that would have looked like for me 22 years ago, what it's going to look like now for the current student-athlete, and is this going to be the end of all things, end of days, like so many people are predicting? I have said no for so long. I say the impact's going to be minimal. This is going to be a situation where those who have social media platforms and who have large followings can profit off of that, which is like any other student on campus. Just because you have a scholarship and you play a sport at said school doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to profit off your name, image, and likeness outside of that. It simply is not. The scholarship is for playing football. Everything outside of that is free game, and that is now what it looks like. Then at 10:20, Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network. She is the data analytics expert there. She's going to join us, talk to us all about the offseason, how she's prepped and put together her model on who is going to be the most successful. The last variable that continues to float out there, the Aaron Rodgers situation, right? What's that going to look like? Where are we can talk to John Keim about that as well. Where we're sitting right now, leading up to training camp. We are in the month of training camp starting, right? I'm headed to Canton at the end of July for the Hall of Fame game and the Hall of Fame inductions. We are here, everybody. We are on the countdown, and Cynthia is going to fill us in with all her previews. 11 o'clock, Kevin Arnowitz, ESPN NBA writer. We're going to get into all things NFL right there. All right. So there's the start. I'm Ryan Leaf, all right, filling in for Rich Eisen. When we come back, John Keim, ESPN DC reporter, going to join us, talk about the situation, the fine levied by the NFL, with the fine by the NFL for the Washington football team and what that looks like. I do think that this will be an interesting conversation, but we have a lot to talk about today. Rich and the fellas are out, taking a little well-timed break over the 4th of July weekend. Speaking of which, everybody out there, be safe this weekend. Getting together probably for the really first time, maybe with families and everything like that. Be safe. Be with loved ones. Be smart and enjoy the time together. When we come back, like I said, John Keim, ESPN DC reporter, host of the John Keim Podcast, will join us next. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show on Westwood One. I'm Ryan Leaf.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. I am Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich Eisen. Big story that came out yesterday revolving around the NFL. The NFL penalizes Washington football team amid harassment allegations. The penalty of a $10 million fine follows an investigation into sexual harassment and abuse in the team's front office. We welcome in now ESPN DC reporter John Keim to the show. John, Ryan Leaf here hosting for Rich Eisen. How are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing all right, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing great. This seems to come down, and the way it's being portrayed is the penalties are some of the harshest leveled against an NFL team and conclude an investigation into allegation of sexual harassment and abuse by men in the team's front office. What are you hearing there? Daniel Snyder supposedly stepping down from the day-to-day after making his wife Tara or Tanya the new co-chief executive. Talk to us about what it looked like yesterday, how it rolled out, and how people are interpreting how this has been administered.
Yeah, that's a complicated one because there's so many sides to this and so many people involved who have strong emotions tied to this. So if you're talking to some of the people who are involved in on the negative side, some of the women, and it wasn't just women who were part of that 150 people that Beth Wilkinson talked to, but the women were the ones who had to go through obviously the worst, the sexual harassment, et cetera. And I know in talking to some of them that I don't think they're satisfied at all with what happened. For a variety of reasons. I think nothing short of Daniel Snyder being forced out would have satisfied them. And I don't think, based on what I have been told throughout this process, that was really going to happen short of another bombshell that Beth Wilkinson had unearthed. Whether that's fair or not, I think that's what my reporting had led me to conclude. And I don't think I'm alone in that. And then there's another side of the victims that I spoke to where they certainly didn't feel good about all this. They did not think that Snyder would have to sell, but I think they were hoping for either more a steeper punishment or at least some written report that had been made public. I think that's something and then something that the attorneys representing those women felt needed to happen. So that's one side. I think from Washington's side with Tanya Snyder being a co-CEO, and I was talking to somebody this morning, she's been involved in things for about the past year. And there was a noticeable change after all these stories started coming out. Her name would be on the statements that the team would put out for whatever the news was. It was always Dan and Tanya Snyder. When you would talk to people about new people who were hired, what was your experience like in the interview? Well, I met with Dan and Tanya Snyder. That had never happened before. It was always Dan Snyder. So, that has been an ongoing thing. So how different that will be, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see what Ron Rivera, his role with Tanya Snyder is going forward. How often do they talk, during the season? What's that like? I don't know yet. I think they're still figuring out all those things themselves. So I think, there are so many sides to this, Ryan, that it's just hard to sum it up as far as how people feel. But I know the people here were bracing for this news this week, especially once they came out and named Tanya as the co-CEO. I think that was on Tuesday. You pretty much knew that this is going to come out before the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And it came out a day earlier than I think most people expected, but they were anticipating this, although they really weren't sure what day, but they were certainly anticipating something happening soon.
We're speaking with John Keim, DC ESPN reporter. He is also the host of the John Keim podcast. I've never been short to be critical of the NFL, in particular Roger Goodell and how they go about things. I've been very vocal about them being a propaganda machine who makes billions of dollars, which I think it is. His statement, right? His statement sounds more compelling. Concluded that for many years, the workplace environment at Washington football team, both generally and particularly for women, was highly unprofessional. Bullying and intimidation frequently took place, and many described the culture as one of fear, and numerous female employees reported having experienced sexual harassment and a general lack of respect in the workplace. Daniel Snyder's name has been brought up in multiple instances during that thing. That seems very, but as always, the NFL is extremely good at saying what they want to say. The action here doesn't seem to correspond with the tisking of the finger from the commissioner right now.
Yeah, and I know the fine was, the $10 million fine is more than what they've levied against other teams. So, but I think people who are listening to this and a lot of other people and say, well, what's $10 million to somebody in those positions?
Right.
And so I think, you know, you can look at it like that. You can look at that both, I guess, you know, and one side's going to look at it, hey, it's the most ever. The other side's going to say, yeah, but. And I think, again, the troubling part for the victim side was there was no written report. I think they really wanted some more transparency in this. And for whatever reason, now the NFL says that the reason why they didn't do it because of those 150 people that they spoke to, some of them at least wanted to remain anonymous. And this was their way to do that. Now, You can also talk to people who say, well, there's the yeah, but is this really more about making sure that that there aren't leaks with this, that if we're not, like, if you're not releasing a written report to the public, does it somehow get leaked out? Does it become known? And then it's a longer story. Also, are you trying, you know, I know they want to send a message to other teams that this isn't acceptable. And so that's why there was a heavier fine, but you know, are they doing this to maybe somehow protect, I don't know, but protect other teams or what, but it just, the lack of a written report was, I think, the troubling part to many people.
We're speaking with John Keim, ESPN DC reporter now, about the Washington football team and the fine levied against Daniel Snyder and this team for their charges in sexual harassment through their company for many, many years. When Lisa Friel was brought on years ago to do these investigations, she stated that Wilkinson was not asked to verify the accuracy of any allegations.
Right.
Or produce a written report of her findings, preserve the anonymity of the witnesses. I get that. That's their way out. We saw this in Portland with the hiring of Chauncey Billups and a sexual assault allegation from 1997 and the team doing their own independent study but not making anything public. I think people just hold on to the idea of negative press and the lack of transparency as a way to hold on to some kind of control. But what they don't understand, and I think people in power certainly don't understand, is because they don't want anybody to have this negative viewpoint of them, that transparency allows other people to heal, allows other things to move forward. And if you're not going to be removed from your spot in this position, the best thing to do is to be transparent, to let people know. It will help the victims heal in this, and it will cost you nothing ultimately that you think. And I think that's the hardest part in all this, is that, again, you have a billionaire at the very top who loses $10 million, which is like what gets lost in his seat cushions on his private plane, and they remove his name from some of the letterhead, and everybody moves on. And that's probably the most disappointing thing in all this from an outside looking in. But again, the NFL moves on, and it churns, well, and it churns, and it churns.
And Ryan, to that point, again, when I talk to some of the victims, that what people want in this situation is to feel like their voice was heard.
Right.
And I know that in some cases they either felt like, well, they listened to me, but did they hear me? But again, I think that goes to what punishment would then satisfy that, short of him selling the team. So I think if there's 150 people involved in there, you're going to get a lot of different answers for yep. that. And I think it would always be, well, something more than just this. But again, the transparency part is something that those attorneys who Lisa Banks and her group, they represented 40 of the women. They stressed the word transparency. They wanted that. I think ultimately the NFL is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and you're going to protect those assets as best as you can.
But John, I think that if anything's shown us over the last 20 years with the NFL, it is absolutely as Teflon as you get. But they still protect as much as they can. They think that's working for the better good, because when history looks back on all this, it's not going to be viewed through an optimistic lens. It's going to be viewed from a very negative lens, no matter how much money they continue to make for these owners.
Yeah, and I think you're probably right. And I think that's why transparency is good. And I know even from this franchise, Jason Wright, the team president, has been much more transparent in that role than anybody there has ever been. Now, you're at least being public with everything. So in this case, obviously, this is something that would not have reflected well on the franchise and certainly not on the NFL's product. And part of me wonders, were they afraid, are you trying to protect other owners from maybe sending messages to them to get your house in order because, you know, whether you can get fined, you're going to protect you, but you can get fined, right? Is it just about the anonymity? Is it about maybe you don't want this story to linger? And if there's a written report, that stuff is going to be, you're going to be able to read it. You're going to see it for a long time. Does that keep that story alive and you just want to move past it? Whatever the true motives are, I don't know. Transparency was the big word for many on the other side.
We're talking with John Keim. I want to move off from this topic and get into a little NFL, especially with this Washington football team. The idea, and I'll just leave this at the end, the idea of doing an investigation and not produce a written report, it seems flies in the face of everything investigations have ever been about in the history of investigations. So it's ironic. Daniel Snyder steps down from the day-to-day, at least until October. They named Tanya as his wife, as the successor or co-chief executive. But Ron Rivera being hired a year ago, taking his team to a conference or a division championship, overcoming his battle with cancer to get into remission, figuring out a way to sidestep and work with Alex Smith, who was, such a difficult thing to do with the guy coming back from an injury like that. Is Daniel Snyder essentially owner in name only right now? And is that the best thing that could happen to this Washington football team on the football field?
Now, let's step back. Over the last year, especially over the last 8 months or so, is what I've heard is that it's actually been, I think this whole situation has given somebody like Ron Rivera more power. Mm-hmm. And because Dan Snyder is certainly under intense scrutiny and he needs this to work. You can't go out there and screw this up right now. Hey, they're going to force me to sell the team's things, but you're going to lose another generation of fans. And they have lost that group. You look a couple years ago, the attendance was not very good before the pandemic. So they need to get these people back. And, fans have faith in Rivera, certainly most of them that you talk to. So I think this ended up giving him some more power. I think it caused, when you have all this stuff going on, there's a lot of court filings being made and there's all sorts of things that is where Dan Snyder's attention was. His attention also was on trying to get a stadium built. So I think there are some things that have taken him away from just kind of getting more involved. Now, I think typically over the last few years, I think there's been maybe less involvement, except for when it's a big, big decision, like a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's when typically. So I don't think, Ryan, that we're going to really know the level of involvement until they go out and make an aggressive play for a quarterback. Was this something that the coaches and the GMs and GM Mark Mayhew, Marty Herney, is this what they wanted, or was it something that was something Dan Snyder said, hey, I want this guy, go get him, because that's right. Happened in the past. That's when I think we'll know where is this really at. And I think right now this group is in a good spot to have that level of control. And as long as they can build off that 7-9 year and go out and have a good year and continue to make it look like they are really building something for the next several years to be successful, then I think they'll maintain that power. So I think it's an interesting time here, but I agree. It was not called a suspension, but essentially it's certainly a voluntary one.
Right.
In some ways, you look back at when the Yankees were successful in the 90s, it was because Steinbrenner was suspended and they had to grow that team through the farm system, which is something he was never willing to do. So if they can get to a situation where the coaches and the front office are on that same page, when they're getting guys at positions like quarterback, they will be better off. And that has not always happened for a variety of reasons, including Dan Snyder's involvement. And so I think, yeah, they have a chance to now move forward on the football field in a better way if it continues like this.
So we'll get you out of here. Again, speaking with John Keim, ESPN DC reporter, host of the John Keim podcast. The NFC East, right? Looked at last year as, the redheaded stepchild a bit. Washington figures out a way and probably played the eventual Super Bowl champions better than anybody in the wild card round. They move on. They bring in Fitzmagic to see what he can do in Ron Rivera's system. Is this a team, because of what they've done on defense, how they've improved on offense, some stability and consistency with the head coaching staff and everybody there, is this a team that could finally repeat in the NFC East, a team which has not happened since the early 2000s in the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, it's amazing. And this team hasn't been a repeat playoff performer since the early 90s.
Right.
So there's a lot of things working against a repeat team. I think what works in their favor, or what works to, if you want to build a strong case for them, and I think you can, is there's a couple things. One, you look at their quarterback play last year, and it wasn't very good. You had Alex Smith only started 6 games. Dwayne Haskins started 6 games. He wasn't very good. So if you can look at your Dallas lost Dak Prescott and et cetera. Well, these guys didn't have that level of quarterback play ever, right? So if they had a guy like Alex Smith for 16 games, they're in a much different – maybe they win 10 games, and we're looking at them a little bit differently, right? So I think that's partly how I look at that, because I think they're going to have better quarterback play for the entire season than they had last year. That's one. And then you look, the defense, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, a young defensive line with two ends who are only going to get better. That's a plus for them. I think that Curtis Samuel coming in as a receiver, that's a plus for them. So I think there's a lot that they can build on that gives them a chance. Now, you're right, the NFC East is very hard to predict and to repeat. And I think Dallas is going to be really good. And I think the Giants, if Daniel Jones plays well, the Giants are going to be really, I think, could be really good, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be difficult because I think those teams will be better. But I do think that you can make a case that this team could be the first repeat winner since then. But like I said, I mean, there's history working against them in multiple ways, but they can end some of those streaks too. So I think one thing that Ron Rivera told me, that he said the phrase that he's going to hammer home to the players this summer is, now what? Now you did this, now what? So I think there's, in the past, this team has never built on success, whether because they didn't have the draft picks, they didn't have the cap space, they thought they were closer than they really were, and so they didn't make certain moves. Well, I don't think this team took a different approach this offseason. So I think, I think there's reasons where you can say, yes, they can go do this, but it's difficult.
Yeah. 17 games now. The NFC East will be one to conversate about for sure. We're gonna get into that here in the next segment, with the Dallas Cowboys being named the Hard Knocks team this year. So the NFC East is going to be up there in everybody's eyes. John Keim, ESPN DC reporter, thanks so much for joining us, man. You are locked in. I appreciate it. You educated us all today. I appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Have a great day. John Keim, everybody, host of the John Keim podcast. Check him out there. ESPN DC reporter. We're going to talk about recap what this story has meant. I have some strong words for Roger Goodell, as I guess normally in my case. But this also leads to Lisa Friel, too, the NFL's special counsel for investigations that was hired a few years ago. I got a few words for her as well. When we come back, we'll discuss that, as well as the Dallas Cowboys being named the Hard Knocks team this fall. When we come back, you're listening to The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich. We'll be right back.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's not called a suspension, but essentially it's certainly a voluntary one. Right. In some ways, you look back at when the Yankees were successful in the 90s, it was because Steinbrenner was suspended and they had to grow that team through the farm system, which is something he was never willing to do. So if they can get to a situation where the coaches and the front office are on that same page, when they're getting guys at positions like quarterback, they will be better off. And that has not always happened for a variety of reasons, including Dan Snyder's involvement. And so I think, yeah, they have a chance to now move forward on the football field in a better way if it continues like this.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. I am Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich, who is taking a well-deserved vacation over this 4th of July weekend. I'll be again in this seat on Monday. We just got done talking. You just heard from John Keim, ESPN DC reporter, host of the John Keim podcast there. About the Washington football team and the fine and sanctions essentially levied against this team. In the article, they talk about how the penalties are some of the harshest levied against an NFL team and conclude an investigation into allegations of sexual harassment and abuse by men in the team's front office dating all the way back to 2004. So 17 years of systemic sexual harassment and abuse by men in the team's front office. In particular, Daniel Snyder, in a couple of different instances, 150 women interviewed by Beth Wilkinson, a lawyer based in Washington who led the investigation. She shared her findings in an oral presentation that formed the basis of the league's decision to penalize the team. I don't know if I'm surprised in all of this. Like, I've become rather numb to the fact that the NFL could care less about its players, about its employees. All they care about is making money. And I think at some point you have to have an understanding of that and just go, I mean, you can keep banging your head against the wall like many have, and I did for a long, long time. But they're in the business of making money off a very violent game in which they feel like they are untouchable. They have $32 billion owners, right? There's 32 different billionaires that own these teams. Roger Goodell, the league's commissioner, works for them. He just received a contract extension a few years back, sort of somewhere in the realms of $45 million a year in a private jet for life, right? They are all in cahoots together, right? This is not something new. The league's commissioner concluded that for many years, this is his statement, this is a statement from the commissioner of the league, concluded that for many years, the workplace environment at the Washington football team, both generally and particularly for women, was highly unprofessional. The NFL said in a statement, bullying and intimidation frequently took place, and many described the culture as one of fear, and numerous female employees reported having experienced sexual harassment and a general lack of respect in the workplace. No written synopsis or anything here presented by Beth Wilkinson. Lisa Friel, the NFL special counsel who for investigations, who was really hired back when the Ray Rice incident happened to be more transparent, to be more out there, to be more public about these things that have gotten so many people infuriated, said that Wilkinson was not asked to verify the accuracy of any of these allegations or produce a written report of her findings to preserve the anonymity of the witnesses. This was their way around it. Out of the 150 women interviewed, some said they did not want their, they wanted their anonymity in this. But there was also so many who didn't, who wanted this as transparent as possible, wanted Daniel Snyder, who had been accused by these women, separate many episodes of harassment dating back to 2004, to be public. Now, the only thing that would have probably appeased these women and the victims in this instance were if it was a Donald Sterling type of thing out here in Los Angeles, if Daniel Snyder was forced to sell the team, which is only the thing that matters to any of these owners. It's just a money printing machine, these teams, with the TV rights, the merchandising, all of it. They're billion-dollar industries, okay? That's all they care about. And the fact that they own, they're one of 32. They own an NFL franchise. The exclusivity of that is undeniable. So that's the only way you really can hurt them with any sort of sanctions. You remove them from the day-to-day. Yeah, guys with egos, guys with narcissistic personality disorders, like pretty much every owner in the NFL, they're not going to want to be not present. But you've seen winners. You've seen owners hold up the championship trophy around the Super Bowl who don't have a lot of day-to-day impact. And that's a big reason why the team is, you know, they're not an NFL owner because they were really good at football or that they have a lot of insight to how to run a football team. In fact, those that try to put their stamp on it more or less struggle, where you have owners that pretty much stay hands off and hire guys that are incredibly good at it, usually are the ones that are holding trophies at the end of the season. That's the difference in all of this. So the only thing that would really affect Daniel Snyder is if his precious baby was taken away and he was forced to sell the team. No such luck for the victims, for the 150 women who came forward. Also no such luck for them in terms of having a written report that could be written about in stories for a long, long time that kept the story going. The ascension of Tanya Snyder, I assume every bit is warranted, capable, hardworking person. It is undeniable to say that a female put in this role, effectively sitting right at the right hand of Daniel Snyder, is not lost on somebody like me. I'm outraged by this. I'm outraged by the small fine, even though it's the largest ever. It's just, like I mentioned, it's coins found in his private jet, $10 million is. And what will come from this? I don't know. But it continues to show us that women stepping forward and trying to tell truth to power continues to be pushed down. This goes back as far as you can imagine. We watched it play out with the Portland Trailblazers just the other day and their lack of transparency as well. It's hard to take. But as I've said for many, many years now, the NFL does not care about anything other than counting their money. When we come back, Michael McCann from Sports Illustrated, their legal expert, is going to be here talking about exactly that, money at the collegiate level, what that would have looked like in my time and what it's like going to look like now. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show.